Amen. Praise the Lord, everyone. Yeah, just as he has said, God is just so good. He is just, I don't have the words. That's the best I can say. Love the Spirit of God that I'm feeling here today. And with the help of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to try and preach to you. If you would turn in your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 1. And we'll be looking at verses 39 through 45. Luke chapter 1 through verses 39 through 45. Amen. This particular text actually talks about a baby. And it just so happens that... How can I say this? That Father's Day is becoming a little bit more special for me. Because there's another brownie in the oven. So, yeah. So all you women that's been coming up to me, it's like, oh, God's going to give you another one. God's going to give you another one. Just you wait. Well, he did. So, yep, we're having another baby. So, I have to admit, I was shocked. Wasn't as freaked out as I was the first time, but I was shocked. But I'm very, very happy about that. So, keep us in your prayers as we move from not having hardly any sleep to moving to no sleep at all. Amen. Y'all pray for me. That's really all I got to say. Pray for my voice as well. It seems to be on the fritz, but by the help of the Holy Ghost, we're going to get through this message. All right, Luke chapter 1, verse 39. Simply says, and my iPad just messed up. Here we go. Luke 1:39. And Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste into a city of Judah. And entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. I want to read verse number 44 one more time. We're going to be taking my thought from there. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. I want to preach to you a simple message entitled, If You're Happy and You Know It. If you're happy and you know it. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and I'm going to have to need your help. As I said, my voice has been a little bit shaky today, but I believe by the Holy Ghost I can preach this for you today. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I pray in the name of Jesus that your Spirit, even now, would just begin to just grip hearts. God, you've been talking to us throughout this entire service. You've been moving on our hearts. And I pray, Lord God, that the hearts would be softened. God, that they would receive the word. They'd be changed and transformed by it. They'd be revolutionized by it. I pray that your Spirit, even now, would begin to prick hearts, open ears, open the eyes of people that they might see your glory. God, use me today to reach someone with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, there's no other purpose in this than to see someone filled with your Spirit, to see someone having the impartation of your salvation into their sin-infested soul today. I pray that your Spirit would meet the need today. We thank you and we praise you, and in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. I will endeavor to be brief, but we'll see what happens. So I want to talk to you today about happiness, about joy. And one of the things that I've discovered, that this is probably one of the most important topics that we're talking about, And since this month is the month of the fruit of the Spirit, I thought this would be a perfect time to talk about it. But Thomas Jefferson once said in the Declaration of Independence, he said that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that phrase he actually took from another famous English philosopher, but they only just said that life, liberty, and the right to own land. But Thomas Jefferson thought that a better way to encapsulate what he was talking about in regards to independence was the right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And one of the things that I've discovered is that as far as motivators, this is the primary motivation for everyone. Doesn't matter what you're doing, doesn't matter what your career is, your motivation is at some level to achieve happiness. I mean, for example, you know, why do you go to school? Well, to get an education. Why do I want an education? So I can get a good job. Why do I want a good job? So I can get some money. Why do I want some money? So I can buy stuff that makes me happy. And you name anything. You name any action that you can possibly think of, at some level, at the root cause, is someone pursuing happiness. And happiness is such an elusive quarry, especially for our society today, that we live in a society that is hooked on Prozac and all sorts of other medical substances to deal with their depression and to deal with their suicide. According to Prestique.com, which is also an organization that distributes antidepressants, there's an estimated 33 to 35 million U.S. adults are likely to experience depression at some point during their lifetime. The disease affects men and women of all ages, races, and economic levels. Another website says this regarding depression, that research into the statistics on depression has revealed just how widespread this problem has become. 9.5% of Americans over the age of 18 suffer from some depressive order, including major depression, dysmic disorder, and bipolar disorder. Everyone in the world will be affected by depression in their lifetimes, and the depression may not necessarily be their own. Already, children as young as preschoolers are suffering clinical depression, and the rate of depression among kindergartners is rising. We have preschoolers that are suffering with clinical depression. Something is wrong. The numbers keep getting more sobering. Depression affects 15% of the population of developed countries, 30% of those affected being the female. 80% of the people suffering from depression are not being treated for it. 41% of them are too embarrassed to get help. Depression in students of all ages is the biggest reason behind absenteeism. And by the year 2020, it will be the second largest killer in the world. And one of the most staggering thing is this, that 15% of the patients suffering from depression will commit suicide. The third leading cause of death of people from ages 25, is suicide. It beat out murder as far as being killed by someone else. You're statistically speaking, you're more likely to kill yourself than to be killed by someone else or something else. That is how rampant this issue of depression and sadness is, how rampant, I should say. It is in America and in our society that people are so suicidal. They are so depressed because they're looking for something to fulfill their needs. They'll look for it in a bottle. They'll look for it in a medication. They'll look for it in a marriage. They'll look for it in a career or in some sort of object or possession to find fulfillment in their lives. And the fact of the matter is that they are looking in all the wrong places. All these things are temporal. All these things will leave you wanting more, will leave you with a hangover, will leave you with some sort of side effect or some sort of a lacking that is there. There is nothing that can satisfy, nothing that can bring true fulfillment than Jesus Christ himself. No one else can satisfy us like Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is inexhaustible. He is eternal. He is everlasting. He never runs out. He has no beginning. He has no ending. Neither was there a God formed before him or after him. Neither is there a God beside him, no one to his left or to his right. He is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. Only he has the capability to satisfy the desires of the human soul. Only he who crafted and even designed humanity by his intelligence knows how to satisfy its needs, knows how to bring completion, knows how to fully handle the difficulties that we suffer with. And the problem that I'm seeing in the church and even out and elsewhere is that people are looking to some other substance, some other thing to cause fulfillment in their lives. The Bible says in Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And Colossians 2:9, it says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. That you have every reason to be joyful and to be happy, despite how bad the circumstances may be. Because Christ in Jesus Christ, and if you are in Jesus Christ, and Christ is inside of you, the Bible says that you have fullness of joy, that there is nothing lacking. You have everything that you need, that you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. In the midst of adverse circumstances, in the midst of tribulation and trial, that you have a reason to be joyful and a reason to rejoice and to be happy. The Bible says in John 16:20, verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she's in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. And this is the point I want you to see. And your joy no man taketh from you. The Bible says that the joy that God gives us cannot be stripped away or taken away by any human force nor spiritual force. No one can take away your joy, because your joy is in the fact that you are saved and in Christ Jesus. If your joy is in the stock market, then of course you're going to act like you're bipolar. Sometimes you feel like a nut and sometimes you don't, based upon the stock market. If your hope and your faith and your joy comes in just finances, if your hope and your joy is in a loved one, that loved one could be killed. I don't want to depress you today, but that loved one could be taken away from you. If your joy is in a career, they can fire you. No one is expendable. It does not matter what thing that is out there. It can be stripped. It can be stolen. It can be taken away from you. Tragedy and circumstance can strip you away of anything that you possess. Job said, naked I came into this world, and naked I return thither. But the one thing that the thief cannot take, the one thing that no natural disaster can strip away from you, is the joy in knowing that once I was lost, but now I'm found. Once I was blind, but now I see. And if your joy is inside of that, even when the car breaks down, I can do a Holy Ghost two-step on the highway. Even if my children leave me, I know that I belong to God and that God will give me more children in Christ. It does not matter what the circumstance is. My joy is built upon Jesus Christ and nothing less. We try and get joy out of a game system, or we'll try and get joy out of some sort of illegal substance. We'll try and get joy out of all these different things. All of them can be taken away. The only joy that really matters is the joy that comes from Christ. Your joy cannot be stripped away from you. A matter of fact, the Bible removes every excuse for you to be depressed in a circumstance. The Bible commands you. It says in 1 Peter 1:8, it says, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. It says in James 1:2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. That the Bible says that you should rejoice when things go horrible. You should rejoice when everything starts to fall apart. You should count it all joy. Everything that happens, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Because this is just an opportunity for God to show up and to show out. This is just a circumstance that God is going to be glorified. That this is my hour of glorification. This is my hour in which God is going to be exalted. And so when you fall into diverse temptations and tribulations, God says that you should rejoice. That means that it is your decision, that you are not just being led around by your emotions, that your emotions don't necessarily dictate you, but you dictate your emotions. David said, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. He was talking to his soul. He said, soul, you better bless God. Why art thou cast down, oh my soul? Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. You've got a reason to rejoice in God, because your sins were once red like crimson, but now they're white as snow. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Matthew 5:11 says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake, or for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And one of the most astounding things is this, is that people who have supposedly found fulfillment in Christ Jesus often behave as if they are the most miserable people on the earth and they have no joy whatsoever. It's really kind of sad in more ways than one that we that in the body of Christ are suffering with the same mental disorders and depression as the world. That we have people, Christians, blood-bought, born-again Christians, suffering with depression. And don't think I'm not trying to beat you down. I'm just saying there's something wrong there. Because there's no reason for us to be depressed. The joy that Christ has given us will conquer any type of sorrow that we might have. The Bible says in Isaiah 53:4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. That the Bible says that when Jesus went to the cross, that he bore our griefs, our sadness, our sorrows, our issues on the cross. He carried them away so that you would not have to carry them. So that means when you are going through something, you can rejoice because Jesus Christ is carrying it for you. I want to deal with this question as to why that it seems like born-again Christians do not seem to exemplify or show joy or true happiness. I have the conditional statement that if you're happy and you know it, and you guys all know the kids' song, I've used the example many times, that if you're happy and you know it, there's going to be some sort of evidence. Now, notice there are two conditions that are there, that if you're happy, for one, and two, you need to know that you're happy. If you have the Holy Ghost, you have joy residing inside of you. So if you're saved, it's not a question of whether or not you're happy. But it's like, well, why am I depressed? Why am I going through this? Very simple. It's like this, because it's like a pirate. A pirate will get a treasure, and he'll take that treasure, and he might bury it or hide it. And now he says ownership of the treasure. He just does not have easy access to the treasure. And it's the same thing with us, that the devil gets shovels of dirt and grime and filthiness and the troubles of this life. And he tries to bury the Holy Spirit and the joy that is inside of you to try and suppress it. So even though you have it, you don't act like you have it. You're happy, but you don't even know it. And so what you need to do is you need to get a shovel called worship and praise and start digging. And digging, and digging, and digging until you hit a well springing up with inside of you. The problem is not whether or not the church has joy. We should be happier than anyone else. Even though they're cutting off people's heads over across the seas, even though Christians are being brutalized, they can rejoice because their reward is great in heaven. But instead, we walk into church looking like someone is just grabbing our cheeks and pulling them to the floor. Look like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. We act like as if we have nothing. I want to go through some reasons as to why that we are suffering through this condition. Number one, as I alluded to earlier, they think their joy is in the things of this life. They think that their joy and all their happiness comes from something in this life. And you look at the rich young ruler, that he came to Jesus and the author of life was standing right there. And Jesus just said, if you sell all your stuff and give it to the poor and follow me, you will have eternal life. Couldn't do it. Couldn't let it go. Could not let it go because he thought that is what really brought him happiness. The fact of the matter is, all those things are fleeting. They are fickle. They will fall apart. The Bible says in Luke chapter 10, that when Jesus had sent out the 70, and the 70 came back, and they said, Master, even the devils are subject to us. Look what Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. He said, don't even rejoice because you got a big ministry. Don't rejoice if you heal the sick and you raise the dead. Don't even rejoice necessarily over the fact that the devils are subject unto you. But rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Why joy? Why is depression so rampant in America? Very simple. The Bible tells us in Nehemiah 8:10 that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if Satan can attack your joy, you will be feeble and you'll be weak, and he'll be able to manipulate you, enslave you, and control you. And that is why it is so incumbent of us to rejoice in the midst of circumstances, because you are recharging yourself and getting the strength to overcome the enemy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The Bible said that restoring to me the joy of thy salvation. In Psalm 51:12. We need to remember that our joy comes from Christ alone. If you're looking at anything else, it's going to fall apart. Number two, we are unthankful. One of the reasons why that if we're happy we have the joy of the Holy Spirit, but we don't know it, because we're unthankful. The Bible said in 2 Timothy 3:1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. Unholy, that one of the markers of the last days is that people would have kind of a spirit of entitlement, that they are unthankful. They come into church and they think, okay, Lord, bless me. Give me this, give me that. And they don't even ask God, hey, what do you want me to do? We got a McDonald's spirit, or I should say a Burger King spirit, just we're going to have it our way. We come to church and we want Jesus, oh, give me this, bless me now, give me all that. I'm not saying that the church is not set up to give and to bless, but what about you? What are you giving unto the Lord? Are you at all concerned about what God wants, about what his will is for your life? But no, instead, we're so unthankful. We just think we're all that in a bag of chips. We think that when we pray, we expect God, oh, God, you owe me. God, you owe me this blessing. God, I prayed and I fasted all this time. What an arrogant spirit to have. We think God owes it. God doesn't owe you anything. God has given you more than enough. And one of the reasons why that we do not experience the fulfillment of God's joy, because we don't thank God enough. We're unthankful, and because at least unholiness. Look at this. Romans 1:20 says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, you know God took you out of that situation. You knew God, if it had not been for the Lord that was on your side, you had no idea where you would be. Either because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professed themselves to be wise, they became fools. That one of the reasons why that we are not experiencing the joy that God has for us in our circumstances is that we don't thank God enough. We don't rehearse all the things that God has done for us, and we get amnesia, and we forget what God has done, and because of that, we fall in depression. When you look at the children of Israel, God parted the Red Sea and did 10 plagues and turned water into blood and caused frogs and darkness and killed the firstborn, and as soon as God brings them out of a situation and they come into a problem, oh, I wish we were back in Egypt. Oh, I wish we had the meat back over there. And we laugh, but we are just like that. I gotta quit and move on. I'm moving on. Here's something I want to point out to you. Take a little side journey. Just bear with me here. You ever thought about, and Pastor's done such an awesome job teaching on this in his series on Christmas, about the wise men and the shepherds. That why the wise men were invited to that particular, to the birth of Jesus. And Pastor's given a wonderful explanation, and it's completely right. I want to just add something else to it. Is this, that you look at the shepherds, all right? Look at the wise men. The wise men were seeking after God. They traveled many, many miles following a star, trying everything they could to find him. When they got there, they had gold, they had frankincense and myrrh. And God didn't invite them. He invited some shepherds who were just minding their own business, doing nothing. Why would he invite them? And when the shepherds got there, they didn't have any gifts. They had nothing to give. They didn't give anything. Why did God invite the shepherds? I'll tell you why. When the wise men left Jesus, the Bible said they went back to their own country. When the shepherds left Jesus, the Bible said they went and told everybody about him. And you want to know why they told everything about him? They weren't necessarily supposed to be there. They're just a shepherd. Shepherds were a very low a job or position to have. They're just mind their own business in darkness. And God found them and brought them to him. And they realized, man, I shouldn't even be here. But look, I'm at the feet of the Messiah.
I'm seeing him over the wise men who are even looking for him with gifts. I don't even have anything to give him, and yet he invited me here. Don't you understand that one of the reasons why they had joy? Because they realized that they weren't even supposed to be there. But God in his mercy called them literally out of a dark hill in the middle of nowhere, sent angels to go get them and bring them here because he knew they'll tell people about how good I am because they're thankful, they're grateful for what I've done in their lives. We need to be a wise man and come to God with our gifts. But at the same time, we need to be a shepherd and tell everyone what the Lord has done for us. Tell everybody, tell every in the hills and in the villages, in the cities, tell everyone what God has done. All right, let me go back to my pseudo text. I want to get something here. Luke chapter 1, verse 39. It says, and Mary arose in those days, my scripture text, and went to the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. This just amazes me. Let me just get this straight. A human fetus whose brain isn't even fully developed could recognize when it's happy and it knows it. Did you get that? A fetus. It could recognize that. All that it heard, all that John heard, John the Baptist, who was in this Elizabeth's womb, all it heard was the greeting of someone who was filled with Jesus. And it produced, and that produced Jesus, and that baby experienced joy. Yet for some reason, we don't often realize what we have. We don't realize what we have. This human fetus doesn't even have a fully completed brain necessarily. Could recognize when it was happy and when it knew it. And it couldn't contain itself. And even though it wasn't born yet, it hadn't even taken a breath yet, could rejoice after just hearing the voice of somebody that was carrying Jesus. Think about that. If you're happy and you know it, somebody else is going to know it as well. If you're happy and you know it, you'll tell someone about what Jesus did for you. If you're happy and you know it, that even when everything is falling apart, you can still rejoice. And people are looking at you like, shouldn't you be depressed? Shouldn't you be on Prozac? Shouldn't have you lost your mind? No, because I've got something inside of me that is sustaining me. I'm happy and I know, but here's the problem now. As I said before, a lot of the church doesn't even know. Look at this. Go to Genesis 28:10. Genesis 28, verse 10. Story of Jacob. I'm going to tell you another reason why people don't get it, why they don't know it. They have the Holy Spirit in them. They're walking in Christ, but they're not happy. Genesis 28:10. If you know the story of Jacob and Esau, Jacob had sown the blessing of Esau. And Esau said that as soon as my father dies, in Genesis 27, the previous chapter, I'm going to kill Jacob for stealing my blessing. So Jacob went on the run to get away from Esau because he's trying to kill him. Look at this, Genesis 28:10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and laid down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Go on to verse 16. I want you to see this. Verse 16. And Jacob waked up out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. He said, I was in the very place where God Almighty was dwelling, and I didn't even know it. And I was submitting to you one of the reasons why he didn't know it. No, and I will say this is just conjecture. He was so concerned about what he did. He was so concerned about running away from his past, from his sin, or from a mistake, that he was in the very place where God was. And did not even realize it. He was completely blinded by his past issue that he could not focus and come to the knowledge that God himself was there. And some of us, we come to church laden with condemnation and guilt and shame. We come into the house of God where God has put his name. And we come into the house of God where people are worshiping and praising God. And we sit there in the pew feeling guilty. the Lord was there, but do you know it? Because if you know it, then your face will surely show it. Because it's your knowledge of it that causes victory. It's your knowledge of it that causes deliverance. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I also will reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. That because we don't know any better, that the enemy is able to manipulate us and to control us. If we're happy and we know it, then our face is surely short. I want to make one last point before I take my seat. This is something that the Lord has been dealing with me on, and it was confirmed to me by the word of the Lord that was spoken through Pastor on Thursday. Pastor was speaking by the Holy Spirit on Thursday. If you weren't here, you missed it. He read from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 through 13, where it talks about that you will find me when you seek me with your whole heart. You'll find me when you seek for me in your whole heart. And he said that the Lord was telling him that we as the people of God need to start seeking after God. We need to start pursuing God. And one of the reasons why that we are unhappy sometimes, even this Christian way, is because we're not pursuing God. God is no longer our delight. He's no longer our number one. It's just a chore. It's just a duty, an obligation, a job. You know, it's really interesting. Whenever you're doing something that you love, it's not work. There are people who love basketball. They'll play 6-7 hours a day, shoot 1,000 free throws a night, sweating themselves to the bone so they can barely walk, but they love every second of it. Some people like rock climbing. They'll climb for hours, almost cheating death on several occasions, but love it to pieces. And time will just fly by when you're enjoying it. And the thing is, the reason why that sometimes church is not so, as we're doing like a job, because we don't love him. We don't love him. And because of that, we don't tell people about Jesus. This was actually kind of a setup for something else I was telling the young people in there. And that is this, that the sole purpose why we congregate here today is so that souls can be born of the kingdom. And one of the reasons why we don't witness a lot and we don't tell people about Jesus, because we're not entirely happy. We're not entirely happy. You don't think of witnessing to your coworker because now you're upset with the pastor because he got on your toes last week. Yeah, I know it's going to get quiet. Oh, you won't talk to that cashier at Walmart because you're dealing with this other thing that someone else was gossiping about you in the church, which shouldn't even be happening in the first place. And we're distracted, and because you're unhappy, or God isn't answering your prayers fast enough. And so because of that, you'll keep your mouth shut and not say a word to anybody about Jesus Christ. This joy thing is fundamental to the preaching of the gospel. And that's why if you don't get it, we're going to miss out on what God is truly calling us to do. I want to read one last verse. Go to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. We are so caught up in our own little drama. We are so caught up in the things of the day that we are ignoring Jesus in our everyday encounters with people. Yeah, I know you didn't see this one coming, did you? We are so caught up in gossiping or finding out the latest whatever on somebody that we ignore the homeless man on the street. We walk by him and not give him Jesus. We walk by our coworkers and not give him Jesus because we are so distracted or you're so disgruntled or so disenfranchised with your current situation, if you don't rejoice and get out of your depression, you're going to miss Jesus. Because later on, he says in verse 41, to these who, want to bring verse 41 up there for me. Then you say unto also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Verse 42. For I wasn't hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. Verse 43. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. If you're not happy, and you don't know it, or even if you are happy, but you don't know it, you will not be able to do the things that God is calling you to do. I look at my parents and I marvel at them, the things that they do. I look at them, they don't really get to sleep in very much. And they don't really get Saturday mornings very much or vacations very much. They don't get necessarily a lot of time to themselves. And I ask them, you guys need to take a vacation. He's like, don't you understand? We love doing this. They said they could not be happier because they're pleasing God, because they're doing God's service. Left their home in Michigan, came all the way up here, and started dealing with everyone else's drama. But they still come to church with a hallelujah and thank you, Jesus, because their joy does not come from external circumstances. Their joy comes in knowing I'm pleasing God. Are you happy and do you know it? Their joy comes from pleasing the Lord. That's why it's so important. If we're not happy, then yes, coming to church is a chore. Oh, I gotta come. Paying your tithes is a chore. Everything is a chore. Another word. Oh. But when you're enjoying, when you're doing it for God, the things that used to be tedious to you become fun to you. And then you'll be able to do more than you've ever done. We need to delight ourselves in the Lord, and then he would give us the desires of our heart. Trying to quit. I'm reaching for someone. You've been suffering with depression. You've been angry and upset. Go back to Christ. He is the reason for your joy. Start doing the work of God. Start praying someone through to the Holy Ghost. Start telling someone about how good God has been to you. And even as you're telling them what God did, joy will start to come. Because then you remember, and it takes you back to that place you were when God found you in that pit and he picked you up and put you on a rock to stay. Church, we cannot be a depressed church. We cannot be a church that's on Prozac. We cannot be a church that's on antidepressants. We've got to be a church that's on Jesus Christ. And when we're on Jesus Christ, we'll tell everyone exactly how good God has been. We'll win the loss. We'll change the world. Do you know that you're happy? Do you know that joy is inside of you? The joy of knowing all of your sins have been forgiven is inside of you right now. Let's stand. I gotta quit. If you're happy and you know it, you will tell someone about Jesus. If you're happy and you know it, you'll praise God with everything you got. When you're happy and you know it, if you're happy and you know it, you'll read the word, because in there are the words of everlasting life. If you're happy and you know it, you don't mind pushing the plate away and going on a fast. If you're happy and you know it, you don't mind spending a little extra time in prayer. You don't mind interceding for the lost and praying that God would give you a word to say to someone that's lost and someone that's dying and needy. If you're happy and you know it, I tell you that Jesus is the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I tell you, if you're suffering with depression, you don't have to anymore. When the Holy Ghost comes in, there is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Words cannot encapsulate the splendor and the depth of the joy. It's so amazing you had to invent another language just to describe it, called speaking in tongues, just so you can even try and talk about it. Because it feels so good. Trying to quit. The reason why I do what I do, the reason why they do what they do, and why we should do what we do, is because, that word because is such a powerful word. It's a word I'm going to be very familiar with saying to my son. And my next baby, too. Well, why can't I go here? Because I want to flip that around, though. Why do you praise God? Because he first loved me. I'm homeless, I have nowhere to eat, I don't owe you, you don't owe me anything. Why are you buying me a meal? Because he first loved me. Why are you praying for me right now? Because he first loved me. Why are you giving me a ride to get me some groceries? Because he first loved me. It's because everything is a reaction to the crimson stream of blood that flowed from Calvary. Every word sung, every message preached, every prayer uttered is a reaction of gratitude and thanksgiving for what Jesus did at the cross. What was done at the whipping post that the lashes dug into his back. The thing is, though, we suffer from amnesia. We're happy, but we don't know it. And because of that, the devil is able to manipulate us and control us. I tell you, if you have Christ, you have happiness. You have true joy. You don't have to pursue it anymore. The pursuit of happiness is found in Christ. When John the Baptist leapt in his mother's womb from hearing Mary just say, hello, he was the first one to be able to say, he had me at hello. All she said was, hello. And just the greeting of someone that was carrying Jesus brought joy to his life. Absolutely amazing. When people see you coming down the street, they should be running and hiding. Oh, man, they're a jerk. They should be glad to see you because you've got something they need. You've got something they need. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy, real joy. Stop looking in external things to do something that is eternal. Quit looking in all these things are temporal. Look to Christ. Are you happy and do you know it? If you do, why don't we just lift up our hands and just say, thank you, Jesus.